The new Shale Resources and Society Institute was founded to act as an information hub on hydrofracking, but the institute released a study that fracking opponents said favored the natural gas industry. As the Innovation Trail's Daniel Robison reports, the episode raises questions about how objective fracking research can be.
Robert Jacoby loves rocks, fault lines, and other things that exist mostly below ground. As a geologist and professor for three decades, he's published volumes of research and consulted with oil and gas companies. He's now co-director of the Shale Resources and Society Institute, or CERSI, which he says was created to provide the unvarnished truth about hydrofracking.
Maybe not truth. There's never real truth, right? It's all biased by somebody's view of things, but still as truthful as you could get, and it'd be in one spot. And here would be where people could go learn stuff.
Jacoby edited CERSI's first ever report, released in May, a month after the Institute's founding. Essentially, it makes the case that state oversight reduced accidents and problems at fracked wells in Pennsylvania. The authors go on to argue that this oversight could be mimicked to even better effect in New York, where fracking is currently under consideration. Jacoby says the report was meant to put the upstart CERSI on the map.
We've been told by a lot of people that we had to come out of the blocks racing. We had to show that we could do something right away.
The study was already written at the time of CERSI's founding and released under its banner as peer-reviewed without significant new input from anyone at SUNY Buffalo.
It was an egregious misstatement of fact and professional norms to characterize this as peer-reviewed.
SUNY Buffalo professor Stephen Halpern says peer review is the gold standard in academia, and there's no mistaking it. Eventually, SUNY Buffalo stripped the label from the study, an embarrassment for a major university. But Jacoby says similar institutes at other schools often publish research without following traditional routes, which can take months or years.
Every research institute does it now. It's a way to get one leg up on the competition and therefore get one leg up on the next granting cycle or wherever the money's coming from, right? But ultimately, you want that stuff published in a normal journal.
The paper is now in review at an academic journal, Jacoby says. Still, opponents assert that CERSI demonstrated lax standards, which they claim have enabled individuals with heavy ties to oil and gas companies to publish under the guise of academia. But Jacoby argues that experienced geologists naturally come in contact with many kinds of industries and aren't necessarily tainted by those associations.
Very few will you find who don't have an association with oil and gas who are at the same time very knowledgeable. How else would you know about this stuff?
Organizers say they'll accept donations from anybody, alumni, grants, and the oil and gas industry. But the ongoing outcry around CERSI has hampered what was supposed to be an auspicious launch around its first report.
It has delayed the money. The trucks aren't rolling up with tons of money, right, from anybody.
Meanwhile, SUNY Buffalo administration has defended CERSI, saying it is free to study and draw its own conclusions. But that's not good enough, says Professor Stephen Halpern. He's asking for all documents related to CERSI's creation and funding to be made public. Otherwise, he says, CERSI creates the suspicion, inadvertent or not, that it is too close to the oil and gas industry to be regarded as independent, especially at an academic institution.
It may well be that everything was done properly and there were no improprieties whatsoever, in which case we can all breathe a sigh of relief and put an end to the story. But there will be no end to this story until that kind of disclosure, in fact, occurs.
In Buffalo, I'm Daniel Robison for WRVO.